coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com for the print, show prep and other contributing articles, as well as HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com for delicious tasting coffee. Here's my go-to, my Detective's Choice coffee. It's hyper-caffeinated. All three coffees come in whole bean, ground, or K-cups. Your choice. Proceeds. Some of the proceeds go to help two organizations. That's Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sowers Group, and Rust Isdar's Group, Shatter Intervention Unit. I got to tell you, I know both of them personally. I can vouch for them, and they have boots on the ground helping fight human and child sex trafficking. All right. Today is September 11th, 2020, 19 years ago, of course, a very solemn day in American history for a number of reasons. And as I was preparing for this, how do you prepare for something as horrific and complex as this? And I say complex because two words, Building 7. How many people lost their lives on that day? I have acquaintances that one firefighter, two police officers who were friends of mine and actually an office worker lost their lives that day. Shortly after that happened, I was allowed to go behind the ropes and behind the tape and take a look at the scars. And there were many. I can't even describe it. I mean, you can see it on the news, of course. You can see it on YouTube. But to be there, to see the bloodstained concrete, people jumped out of the windows because of the fire, because of the heat. And to see the fire department boards memorialized that day, the assignments that day memorialized, to see the police officers, their empty cars at the precinct. Going in that morning, they had no idea. You know, it's sad. And what do we get from this, from 9/11? Well, a couple of wars, the Patriot Act, the TSA, Department of Homeland Security, and I could go on. I'm not going to. That's the authoritarian aspect of the government coming out to enslave the people. Yes, I mentioned that, and I don't mean to be disrespectful at all. But we have to be realistic. We're all adults here. Daniel Greenfield wrote an article, Jihad Watch. And the title of his article is Remembering 9/11 in a Woke Year. And he writes, what do heroes of September 11th mean in a year of hating police officers? And think about this. Please, folks, think about this. The 19th anniversary of 9/11 has been the nation's darkest and this dreaded cycle, the Black Lives Matter riots that attacked the statues of Washington, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson, Christopher Columbus, Abraham Lincoln. They did not spare the 9/11 memorials. The statue of a police officer was beheaded and toppled in Plymouth, Massachusetts, at a 9/11 memorial honoring those who had died in the attacks, but the 2,000-pound steel beam from the World Trade Center proved beyond the ability of the vandals to topple. When Black Lives Matter racists deface statues and memorials in the Boston Common, And that includes the Glory Regiment. They didn't spare the 9/11 memorial in the public garden. A 9/11 memorial honoring five fallen firefighters was defaced, and the American flagpole was cut down in Washingtonville, New York. There was also vandalism at the Decatur, Illinois memorial site in the red, white, and blue rearing horse. 9/11 memorial in Rochester, New York was smeared with red paint. And beyond the radical attacks on the monuments of 9/11 were the attacks on its heroes. These are the words of Daniel Greenfield. I'm reading to you right now. In fact, you can put the, if you don't mind, Eric, put the memorial picture back up there. People don't need to see me reading this, but they need to remember the 9/11 memorial picture if you still have it handy. I could see no difference between the officer who killed the police who died or the firefighters who died. They were not human to me. This person by the name of, I'll try to pronounce it correctly, Ta-Nehisi Coates. This intellectual godfather of Black Lives Matter. Let me say that again. I could see no difference between the officer who killed and who killed and police who died or the firefighters who died. This Ta-Nehisi, whatever it is, Coates, this Muppet, intellectual, bankrupted Muppet of Black Lives Matter. Those are my words, not Greenfield's, my words. He, she, it, whatever the pronoun of the day might be, wrote, "They're not human to me, black, white, or whatever. They were the menaces of nature. They were the fire, the comet, the storm, which could, with no justification, shatter my body." Think about that. Between the world and me, the hateful tract in which Coates did dehumanize the police officers and firefighters who died trying to save people of all races and all creeds. No one, you know what? None of the firefighters, police officers asked what color. Gee, are you black? If so, you gotta stay here and step over a black person to save a white person. Didn't happen that day. These men and women, they rescued men and women of all colors, black, white, didn't matter. But this intellectual piece of crap is writing this hateful rhetoric. Coates dehumanized the police officers and firefighters who died to save people of all races and creeds. This became a bestseller. This Putz was a Pulitzer finalist. This book, this tome, Between the World and Me, has been showing up on corporate anti-racism reading lists. Now, writes Greenfield, all of this makes commemorating this day, September 11th, into an awkward task that Democrats avoid. You're damn right they avoid it. The 9/11 Memorial and Museum tried to cancel the tribute and light. Its beams that fill the night are used to light the space of the fallen towers of the Trade Center. It tried to block the reading of the names of the fallen dead by 9/11 family members. And you know what changed it? It was the outpouring of anger from family members and alternative events to get the museum to reverse course. How sad is that? I'm opining here as I'm referencing this article. Well, the leadership of the mismanaged museum blamed the pandemic for their decision. What a load of crap that is. Local Democrats had long viewed the ceremonies as intolerant and out of touch with their agenda. By the way, I am a member of AARP. I don't know what the last two letters represent, but the first two are armed and angry. That's me talking now. You know, writes Greenfield, there's always been a deep discomfort with the patriotism of 9/11 and with its heroes and victims. The former were mostly working class white men. The latter were white middle class men and women, many from outside the city and the state. Many of the latter were described as insufficiently diverse and representative of New America. You see, early on, there had been efforts to replace the firefighters raising the flag at Ground Zero with a more diverse group of in an official memorial. Think about that. In the long years after the men of the New York City Police Department and FDNY had raised up the courage of a nation, both organizations, like the military, had been gutted by political correctness and have turned into shadows of their former selves. FDNY has a diversity monitor who has cost the organization some $23 million and a top diversity official who sued for excluding one of the firefighters who raised the flag at Ground Zero from a color guard ceremony. Nicholas Garofis, a Clinton judge, and Mayor Bill de Blasio, otherwise known or born as Warren Wilhelm Jr., they imposed their version of diversity on FDNY to ensure their racial, ethnic, and gender demographics of the city's firefighters. They reflect the city's population as a whole, along with the full integration of a mixed-gender workforce. What in the hell are we doing here? What is wrong with this picture? I ask all of you. You know, today, the firefighters around the country are commemorating their heroism, the heroism of the firefighters, by climbing 110 stories. Writes Greenfield, if Islamic terrorists were to fly planes into the Freedom Tower today, there would be fewer members of the FDNY, their mixed-gender and fully diverse workforce, who would climb the 100 stories carrying 60 pounds of gear on their backs while a skyscraper was tottering and burning on all sides. I got to tell you, I remember in my younger days, I did carry 60 pounds of gear on my back, and I did climb stairs, and I did go into fires, and I know what it takes. And I'll tell you what, that however brief it was, four or five years, you got to have some brass ones to go into where people are running out of. And God bless those men and women, and God bless each and every one of you who are out there doing this, the same thing that the firefighters and the police departments and the policemen and heroes did on 9/11. But there is a traditional kind of heroism, writes Greenfield. It's out of step with a millennial ethos of performative hysteria spread virally across social media, which turns victimhood into celebrity. How true is that? As we look at the towers, if you're looking at this, you look at the towers, 9/11, never forget. We're talking about a traditional kind of heroism. Not this crap that's out of step with traditional heroism. The millennial ethos of performative hysteria spread virally across social media, which turns victimhood into celebrity. The men who lived and died on 9/11/2001 were not victims. And they weren't trying to get famous. They did their job. They did their duty. They did what they needed to do. They did what men do. Real men do. But to many, especially those today, the concept of duty has become as alien, well, as top hats and frock coats. Remember those? Nearly 20 years after 9/11, men and women born after the attack will be able to vote. 19 years right now. Men and women who were born after the attack are able to vote we'll be able to vote. So now we've got the politics, says Greenfield, writes Greenfield. The politics of the present are being formed by radicals who, like Cortez, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was 11 years old at the time. There were children on 9/11. The meaning of that day is as incomprehensible to them as the distant, and as distant as Pearl Harbor. The Obama administration, I call the Obama regime, had tried to shift the meaning of 9/11 away from heroism and volunteerism. And he did so with aplomb, didn't he? Its idea of commemorating the attacks on America was cleaning up parks. And as time goes by, there will be no need to actively suppress the commemorations. They'll be irrelevant. That's what they're going for. If we let it happen. History, writes Daniel Greenfield, is not only made up of dry facts, but emotional connections. The stories that define us are the ones that matter because they endow life with meaning. For millions of Americans, the death of an ex-con who had robbed a pregnant woman at gunpoint gave their lives meaning. That's why so much of the country is burning and so many of its memorials have fallen. The Islamic terrorists who attacked us on 9/11 had beliefs that gave their lives meaning. So did the SS soldiers who marched through Poland or their North Vietnamese counterparts. It's not the mere presence of evil that creates a crisis, folks. It's the absence of a meaningful opposition to it. Think about this now. It is not the mere presence of evil that creates a crisis, but is the absence, meaningful opposition to it. Where are we at right now? And by the way, and Greenfield writes this, meaningful opposition comes from a deep moral passion without which life is empty. Oh, believe me, I've got a deep moral passion, and I know you do too. You know, I'm referring back to Daniel Greenfield's article. He writes that 19 hijackers, they lied to the passengers that if they didn't resist, they would be allowed to live. Now, again, you've got to accept in this instance the actual account of 9/11. Let's just go with it just for a second, okay? It doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just work off this script here. Put yourself in that position. You're on a plane, okay? Let's just go with it. You don't resist, you're going to be allowed to live. ADA, remember Flight 11? Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any moves, you'll endanger yourself in the airplane. Just stay quiet. Well, that worked for plane number one. That worked for plane number two. Not so much for the one over Pennsylvania. Did it. Now, these are my words. In my view, and I'm using now Daniel Greenfield's article as the jumping off point here. Just stay quiet. Just stay quiet and everything will be okay. That's what we are being told, essentially. Just be quiet. Stand down. Everything's going to be okay. That moron mayor, Ted Wheeler, he's also the police commissioner of Portland, deciding here, well, the police, effective now, the police are not going to be using tear gas on these rioters anymore, on these violent thugs anymore. Not allowed to. If I was a cop in Portland, I wouldn't be. You hear about some security for celebrities that, and I've talked to a few. I talked to one who said, yeah, I'd rather shoot that son of a, you know. And so that's where we're at. No, no, no. We're not going to stay quiet. No, it's not going to be okay. Things are not going to be okay. We have to fight back. And so if, again, if we operate off the script of 9/11, and, you know, flight 93, if we operate off that script, and I apologize, we have some, the finalization of some, studio, construction. I apologize, working late. So that's the way it goes. If you hear saws and stuff, well, it's real life. But here's the bottom line. If we operate, if we look at the script as it's being said to us, and we operate the same way that flight 93 did, if we accept that, that whole premise of Todd Beamer, let's roll, then it, I'm telling you, let's roll. But not against the people, I mean, against the people who are causing the problems in the streets. Yeah, let's roll. Let's make today 9/11/2020. Let's make today the 19th anniversary in honor of the people who lost their lives by going where danger is, was, and saving people. Let's save this country. I'm saying let's roll. Let's make this day, the day that we say, no, it's not going to be okay if we sit back, shut up, and listen. No, it's not going to be okay. We're not listening to you. Let it be you and me who take that cart and push it into the terrorists. And by God, you know these are terrorists that we're facing. These are domestic terrorists. These are out of order, Eric the Tech. And by the way, it's Friday. How you doing, man? You okay? It's Friday.
Doing good.
All right. You're gonna knock me off, you know, you're gonna knock me out. But Caitlin Bennett, and thanks, Kevin. I had seen this before, but Caitlin Bennett went to a university. What was it? Berkeley yesterday, and was met. And this is representative of a lot of things. Very quickly, if we can play this in another video, what is this? I'm looking at my, okay. Go ahead. Let's play, Caitlin Bennett. If we can.
Caitlin,
pardon me. Deal with the language.
I hope you got corona and died for not wearing the right mask, cunt.
Say that again.
I hope you get corona and die for not wearing the right mask.
As a law enforcement officer, you're going
to
stay
here.
Safe. Look how unsafe this is.
I'm not controlling it.
If you guys leave, then I can control this, okay?
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
If you can't control it with me here, you can't control it without me here.
Okay? We're going to move you.
Making too much sense here, Caitlin. Look at these Muppets.
Utter bullshit, in my opinion. Excuse my French, but what you're doing is you're promoting the president. There's nothing wrong with promoting the president.
They're saying, fuck 12, fuck the police. They have the police here to try to get me off campus.
Stop! Get the fuck back!
Now, there's a lot to this.
I got you. You'll get me. I'm going to take you to a safe spot.
The security is in black on the two-year right as they're looking at the screen. Sees a building that's relatively safe. The cop told her to leave. They're leaving. But they're being chased by these Antifa beings. So they go into this building. All right? This is what you're seeing right now for the people listening. Now, again, there's a lot to this. This is a university here in the United States of America. Oh, by the way, that's the universal sign of I love you, apparently. I guess that's the only language these dopes have, mopes and muppets have, you know, are able to talk. So here's what she had to do. I mean, she had to go through this building, out through various doors, and be escorted out of here. Now, what she says here, once she gets into her vehicle, and I've been in this situation, is not similar to this, but where I had to be escorted out by security in different areas, along with other people. Now, listen to what she says here.
Hidden terrorists all over United States college campuses, and they're publicly funded. Donald freaking Trump. Get the picture. Defund this school. Defund them. Strip it. These students don't have money. They're not paying to go here.
All right. Thank you very much. That's on my personal Twitter line, but that's right. She says, look, you need to defund these sanctuaries of terrorism. And that's exactly what, and there it is. If I were to litigate this or adjudicate this in a criminal court, that would be Exhibit A. Or maybe B or C. I don't know. But look, it's an exhibit of the bastions of terrorism that these places have become. The you can take a look at who some of these terrorists are. I think I sent that to Eric the Tech. I'm not sure if I've even labeled it or not, but you can take a look at some of these mugshots. The New York Post has an article about it. These are children of the privileged. These are children of the privileged. These are not homeless. These are children who spoiled ass brats. Each one of these meth looking dopers, spoiled ass brats, as Tucker Carlson went through, are living a life of privilege and pissing it away by their actions because of the brainwashing that was done in and outside of their homes by their brain-addled or brain-damaged, drug-addled parents who send them to the south of France, you know, or send them to the UK for enlightenment and bring them back so they can come back here and throw urine and other things at the police officers. Look at those people. These are adolescent toddlers, or these are men, man-child, and well, you can make up your own names for them. But we're at crossroads, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. We don't have time for this to play Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, his monologue last night was spot on. And I guess I wish I would have said it. I don't know if we have L.A. Marzulli. L.A. Marzulli, one that is going to drop by or supposed to drop by. Do we have him? Yes. All right. L.A. Marzulli is here. L.A. Marzulli.net. L.A., how are you, sir? Oh, hang on a second here. We'll get him. I guess I'm guilty of premature. No, I'm not. No. No, I'm not. Again, AARP member. I don't know what the RP stands for, but I'm armed and angry. And I'm not going to put up with this crap anymore. So let's go to L.A., L.A. Marzulli. How you doing, L.A.? What's up?
I'm good. Great to be here as always. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on. I just said I'm armed and angry, AARP member. I'm sick and tired of the crap that's going on here. This is the 19th anniversary of 9/11. These pieces of crap, Muppet morons out there, the children of privilege that haven't grown up yet, are making a mockery out of the heroes of 9/11 and everything that it stands for. And I'm not going to take it anymore. I don't know about you. So you want me to pick you up? You want to ride shotgun? You want me to ride shotgun? What are we going to do? You got to make a plan.
I think it's great. I think it's time to push back. It's time to stand up. It's time the church stands up. The stuff that's going on in Portland, Seattle, other places has no place in this country. This is sedition. It is anarchy. They are attempting to overthrow this country. That is what is going on. They are attempting to overthrow the United States of America. I reported yesterday that we now know that Antifa allegedly has ties with Hamas. You know, surprise, surprise, right? These people hate America. They also hate Jesus. They were using the F-bomb as they were chanting, and then using Jesus' word after that, burning Bibles. This is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. This is an armed takeover of the country. Some of my intel has told me, I don't know what you're hearing, that the Marines are being deployed, and that's what needs to happen. This has the kind of looting that we see, the kind of destruction that we see, has no place in America. This is not protest. This is something else. This is anarchy. This is the tearing down of our country. And pastors need to stand up, speak against it. I do every day. I know that you do every day. There are others that are doing it. But a lot of the pastors out there aren't saying anything. And that I find incredibly problematic. You know why? Because if they're coming for some of the pastors in Portland and New Hampshire and other places, they're going to come for you eventually. And you're going to want people to support you. Time to stand up, folks. And the church needs to pray a lot more than a 30-second prayer. The church needs to come together and begin to pray against, because this stuff, there's an occult paradigm to it, Doug. There's no doubt about that. These people are engaged, the leadership is, in necromancy. They are calling on dead ancestral spirits. That's necromancy. That's voodoo. That's stuff that comes right out of Jamaica and other places. And again, the church needs to understand that there is a spiritual component to what we are seeing.
Indeed, there is. And people don't really know. I mean, how many times can we say it? BLM, Black Lives Matter, formed after Ferguson. It's a front group. It's a Marxist front group, but it also is steeped in the occult, in the worship of the demonic. And people don't realize, people think, oh, that's an oversight. That you're just hyping that up or you're making that up. No. It's self-admitted. They're witches. They call themselves witches. Some Marxists, some witches, but they actually have ceremonies going around. It's just ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, it's time that we stand up. And, you know, L.A., look, I'll tell you what, if they attack my store, I'm coming after them. I will chase you to the gates of hell if I have to. I will come after you. I am not taking any more. I would not take any of this crap at all. You know, this Portland mayor, I don't even know how to describe this spineless piece of,
you know.
So we can't count.
It's exactly what he is.
Yeah. We cannot count on anyone coming. We can't call 911. So we have to do something. And you're right about the pastors too. And I'm so sick and tired of these people, you know, pastors, what, 3,000 signing on to, well, we have to trust science, the, coronavirus. We have to wear masks. We have to social distance. We have to accept the vaccine when it comes. No, we don't. Who the hell are you? You know, what's wrong with you people? So I don't know whether you saw that, right? But, look, I'm not here to preach. You talk, man.
Look, I'm right there with you. This is, Dr. Graves has been on your show. She's been on our show. She told us way back in March when all this happened that this was a COVID coup, that this whole thing was being manipulated. Now we know that the CDC came out last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, the numbers of COVID deaths just from COVID were 9,216. That number has probably gone up, but it's certainly not 163,000 or 180,000. What they did is anyone who died of anything, basically they were tagging, well, you died of COVID. And what we see is that people with lung conditions, heart conditions, you know, asthma, breathing problems, type 1 diabetes, COPD, when COVID hits them, their immune system's already worn down. So those people were added to the list. But the actual people that died from COVID-19 is under 10,000 people. Meanwhile, you know, we've locked down the economy. What happened to quarantining the people who are sick and letting the rest of us live our normal lives? Why aren't we doing that? And I reported that, once again, the Gates Foundation, and you can go and check it for yourself, but the World Health Organization talked about recently that Gates and his polio vaccine, all of a sudden there's a wave of non-flaccid polio happening in Africa, just like it happened in India when Gates was, you know, giving all these vaccines to people. So, you know, before we start jumping on the bandwagon and getting vaccines, first of all, I want to make sure and I want to know what it is I'm getting, number one. Number two, if there's any type of stem cells from aborted fetuses, count me out. There's no way I'm taking that. Not in a million years. It's never going to happen. So, you know, we locked down the economy, and now we've discovered that the data was faulty, that we probably didn't have to do this. the numbers were greatly inflated, and that there's no efficacy. There's no, let me put it this way, there's no scientific proof that masks do anything. I've heard from doctors that it's like a screen door in a submarine, or as Gary Sturman puts it, trying to keep a gnat out of your property with a chain link fence. Good luck with that. So why are we all wearing masks? What's really going on here? First, they made us go through TSA. Around and around and around we go. Search your bags. No search warrant. Mr. Marzulli, stand over there. You're not allowed to touch your bag. I'm going to look in your camera bag. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's a battery pack. I better open it and make sure there's not a bomb residue in this. I mean, it's absolutely insulting. So we put up with this nonsense, and now we're all wearing masks as we go through the goofy TSA line. And the last time I checked, TSA hadn't found anybody at all with any type of explosives or anything else. At least it's not been reported that I'm aware of.
TSA hasn't found anybody. Seriously, the TSA has not caught any terrorists. In fact, they failed 97, the last time they were tested by red cells, I think 97.8% of the time or 98.7% of the time they failed. So you're right. I'm so glad to have you here. I don't want to mess your time up. So what do you want to talk about, my brother? I want you to talk. I want you to tell me what's on your mind, what you're doing, what we need to do. And I want to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, this is utterly self-serving, but, you know, our mission statement is to expose the deception of the prince of the power of the air and to herald the return of the King Jesus. This is episode 5 in the On the Trail of the Nephilim series. It's called Axis Mundi, the Center of the World. And what we discovered there was absolutely mind-boggling. I can see that Skype is really not acting up today, and it's not a really good connection, so I apologize for that. It's more than likely on my end. But we are doing a Nephilim Again conference. It's virtual. Russ Dizdar, Derek Gilbert, Chief Joseph Irwin, Drew Graffia, L.A. Marzulli, and a special appearance by Gary Stearman. We filmed at his studio. So the Prophecy Watcher studio. That is next week. You can go to NephilimAgain.com. NephilimAgain.com. It's a virtual conference. I did about almost 4 hours worth of presentations just myself. And Russ and I will be welcoming everyone to the conference, and then we'll do a Q&A on Saturday late afternoon. So if you're interested at all in this kind of stuff, NephilimAgain.com, NephilimAgain.com. I will be talking about some of this. Hope you can see it. Maybe, hopefully it won't, yeah, there it is.
Wow. Looks like Eric after one of his, never mind. Wow, look at that. Okay, so folks, listening by the radio, you're holding up an elongated skull. Just to be clear for folks listening, just audio only, an elongated skull.
This is a model made by Joe Taylor.
Okay. All right. So, okay. NephilimAgain.com. That's what we're looking at. NephilimAgain.com. And that's, when is that? There it is right there. September 18th and 19th. Okay. Wow. All right.
It's basically next weekend, exactly.
All right. What do I need to do? And tell me again, what do I need to do to sign up for this? Because I got to do that. So tell me.
Just go to NephilimAgain.com and follow the instructions. You'll sign up. You'll get an email with the link the day of the conference, and you'll be able to watch it virtually for 30 days. And you'll also get the DVDs. So if you're at all interested in the Nephilim, this hidden history, which completely surrounds us. I mean, there's stuff in the Axis Mundi, the fifth installment in our On the Trail of the Nephilim series. What we discovered there at America Stonehenge, which is in New Hampshire, was absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. So this stuff is real, and that's why I'm on the trail. That's why we do what we do. That's why the conference. Derek Gilbert gave us a tease this morning on my show, which was absolutely incredible. What he's going to be talking about, same thing with Drew Graffia. You know, these are some of the top people on the planet that have studied this. If you want to arm yourself and understand what's really going on, because that's what we do, we expose the deception of the Prince of the Power of the Air, sign up. Because there is a hidden history, which has been deliberately obfuscated from the people of the world. And at this conference, you will get armed and dangerous as far as what really happened and what is happening now. I think you'll find it absolutely fascinating.
And that's what attracted me to this, and that's why I'm glad you're on right now, is because there is a distinctly... Well, there's Russ Dizdar is going to be talking, but there is a connection between then and now, and especially with Nephilim again, you're going to be able to see, or things will be mapped out to show people why things are happening today the way they're happening, and the connection between then and now. Right? Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement because. Jesus warns us it will be like the days of Noah when he returns. And, of course, that begs the question, what differentiates the days of Noah than any other time in history? And, you know, some people will point, well, it's longer life and it's this. Yes, I get it. It's all those things. But what really sets the days of Noah apart and the reason for the flood of Noah, and this is why many people don't understand the flood of Noah. The reason why the flood happened was to destroy the Nephilim. That's what it was for. And we are in the days of Noah once again, where we are seeing the Nephilim, but they're different. It's not like they're 12-foot giants running around anymore. Although our work, Watchers 10, the Kandahar giant, that was a 12-footer. That happened in 2001. Isn't it interesting that I was contacted by a guy from the deep state who threatened me three different ways. And the reason why he contacted me was because of Watchers 10, when we did the discovery on the Kandahar giant, which was 12 feet. Steve Quayle has also mentioned the giants, you know, well before us, but it was a different giant in a different location. And we had our guy talk to Quayle's guy, and that was really interesting because they basically confirmed that, oh, there's two of them. It's not the same one. And we knew that. But to get confirmation on it was incredible. Since then, other people have come up from branches of the military at conferences, basically stating the same thing, that they encountered one or a body of one, or they were told to ship one out, whatever. But, it's real. And this stuff is happening. And I realize, you know, for those of you without a supernatural worldview, some of this stuff seems really sketchy, but it's not. And it's right there, and it's right found in our Bibles. So, you know, NephilimAgain.com, NephilimAgain.com. What are you waiting for? Sign up and get educated.
I appreciate that. And, folks, there it is on your screen, September 18th and 19th. And by the way, you get a full set of DVDs in for signing up, too. I mean, you sign up, $89, and you get the real time and the DVDs. Is that? Is that right or no?
Correct. Correct.
Oh, man, can't beat that.
It's a good deal. Yeah, you get the DVDs. Yeah, you get the DVDs, and then you can watch it online for 30 days. So plenty of time to check everybody out.
Wow. Yeah. And if Russ, and of course, if Russ is going to be there, you know, I want to be there because I'm glad you're having Russ there, and I'm glad you're going to be speaking as well initially, just to kind of lay the groundwork. Because yeah, this, you know, it amazes me, the days of Noah as, because people will quote that, you know, just as in the days of Noah, and they'll reference the current time in which we live, just like in the days of Noah. But a lot of people don't have that level of understanding about really what happened. And when you look at today, I mean, look, you just said it earlier about, you know, aborted fetal tissue and vaccines. I mean, changing our DNA. This stuff ain't good, obviously, but it's happening.
It's not good. And, you know, we are in a window of time that is absolutely unprecedented. And, you know, folks need to wake up and understand that, you know, this is, it's not going away. And here's something, I mean, this is really not what we're talking about, but it's very relative. If Trump does not get in, for another 4 years, you can kiss America as you know it goodbye. The left has gone completely socialistic. They want socialism, border. What they want is higher taxes, abortion on demand, open borders, and then basically legislate people like you and me into the grave. And they will, if they get in, they will target us just like they did under the Obama administration. We will be targeted. They will try to shut voices like ours down. They're already doing it on social media where, I mean, if Twitter can censor the president of the United States, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is a world which is draconian. It's 1984. It's Big Brother. It's everything that I don't want to live in a world like this. You know, Patrick Henry said it best: "Give me liberty or give me death." And I'm not going to go along with the program that the Democrats and their socialistic, you know, New World Order buddies want. Ain't gonna happen. I'm not doing it. You know what? Americans feel exactly the same way. Last night, the fact that the crowd spontaneously said, "We love you. We love you," at the Trump rally. That is absolutely, there's never been anything like it ever in American politics that I'm aware of. The fact that the entire crowd, you know, spontaneously broke into this chant, "We love you, we love you." There are millions and millions of Americans who realize that Trump stands for them and is pushing back against the deep state, pushing back against the socialistic agenda. Trump is, I believe he'll do this if elected. He will defund Planned Parenthood. And, you know, for those of you who are in the Black Lives Matter and don't understand what Planned Parenthood really is, it was basically created to make sure that we had eugenics. In other words, we're going to keep the population of undesirables, and black people, African Americans, were at the top of that list. Margaret Sanger, do your history, do your homework, and you'll see that that's exactly why Planned Parenthood was founded.
Exactly. You know what? If you don't mind, ride with me on this video. This is just a few minutes here. Video of Ronald Reagan. Ride this with me. I want to get your thoughts on this because this is Reagan through the years, actually. And then we're going to get back to NephilimAgain.com. But since we're talking about current events, I saw this and I thought, wow. You know, compared then to today, we'll take a look at this and then comment afterwards, and then we'll get back to the subject at hand. Go ahead and play the clip.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on campus where no one wants to listen. No,
you are a liar.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming. And I would like to say just one thing. And to those who demonstrate so, I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Anything, and I have a feeling that if you check closely on some of the more militant of those leaders who are advocating violence, you'll find that If you settle whatever issue it is that has them worked up today, they'll be back tomorrow morning with another issue. But I think the time has come for them to make a choice and to decide whether they want to continue to even tolerate these false prophets in their midst who are, if anything, destroying their own community.
I don't think a taking to the streets and rioting and disorder has ever solved anything or ever will.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters.
Recently, in some places in the nation, there's been a disturbing reoccurrence of bigotry and violence. If I may, from the platform of this organization, known for its tolerance, I would like to address a few remarks to those groups who still adhere to senseless racism and religious prejudice. To those individuals who persist in such hateful behavior, if I were speaking to them instead of to you, I would say to them, you are the ones who are out of step with our society. You are the ones who willfully violate the meaning of the dream that is America. And this country, because of such what it stands for, will not stand for your conduct.
There are cities in Michigan. Oh, shut up.
I'll stop it right there. That's good. All right. Because I think that's an appropriate place to stop, because I would have said the same thing. But L.A., so you've got history from, what, the last 60 years. But you're talking about history that goes back millennia. And, you know, it's nothing new under the sun, is there? You can comment on that video and then, of course, take it into NephilimAgain.com.
Well, I mean, you know, Reagan is, President Reagan is absolutely incredible. And, you know, he had a voice. He had a passion, a verve. He had his worldview was deeply entrenched in his soul. So he never wavered from that. It was who he was. What you saw is what the man was. Very similarly, just like our president now, Donald Trump, he hasn't wavered from his core values. They're still intact and they've been intact. You can go back and watch Trump 30 years ago on Oprah Winfrey. He's talking about the same stuff. Reagan was a man with core values that were basically in concrete. They're not going anywhere. And that's what allows him to stand up and say with the authority that he did it all throughout those clips. It enables him to do that because he's just acting as a mouthpiece for what he knows is right and for what he knows he believes. It's his deep, deep, deep core values. Trump was the same way. I think many born again Christians, I know yourself, myself, you know, everything that I do is from a biblical, prophetic, eschatological, supernatural, conservative Christian viewpoint. I mean, that's what it's from. Those are my core values. They have been cemented in place for 40 years. They're not going to change because, you know, someone like AOC comes on on the scene and starts, you know, telling us how great socialism is, or someone like Ilhan Omar, who tells us that America is a horrible place. Well, if it's such a horrible place, why did you come here in the first place? And of course, if I say that, then I'm a racist. You give me a break. Yeah. You know, so it's like, look, folks, this is why people from all over the world want to come here and not Venezuela, want to come here and not the former Soviet Union, want to come here and not China, want to come here instead of India. That's why they come here, because of the American dream. Is there stuff wrong with the country? Yeah, but there's stuff wrong with every country. because human beings are human beings. Are some politicians corrupt in this country? Absolutely. But there's politicians that are corrupted in every country. So that's why we have the checks and balances that we have. That's why we had people like, you know, Barr and Durham who are going after some of the corruption. Let's hope we see more indictments soon and not just Klein Smith. Let's hope we really see something, maybe in October. That would be really cool to watch this whole thing go up right into the Obama White House, because we know it did. They all knew. And it's a question was, who gave them the go-ahead? And I think we all know who did, but that's conjecture.
You know, and it exactly. And just to kind of bring it all home, because we're short on time here. Here we have, and not enough people, I don't believe enough people talk about this, but here we have this area, period of time, the recent history. And I'm talking about the last, again, 50, 60, 70 years that exists that you could see, you know, by that Reagan video. But what you're doing, in my view anyway, is you're saying, look, everything that we're seeing isn't just, it's not just from this period. It's from this period. It's from this larger time period. And again, you can expect explanations and details and connections to be made in NephilimAgain.com, 19th and 18th and 19th of September. And I would urge everyone to do that. In fact, right now, you see this? There's my date book. Bada-bing. Okay. I am now writing this in my date book because I'm going to be there virtually on September 18th and 19th. I would urge everyone to sign up as well. I want to thank you for coming. And thank you for having that. Thank you for doing this. It's, hey, there it is. Next week. I love it.
Thanks. Appreciate it. God bless you guys. Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for all the work you do. God bless you, my friend. That was Ellie Marzulli, ellimarzulli.net, nephilimagain.com, September 18th and 19th. Hey, live video stream and the DVDs. Can't beat that, man. Coming right up here, Mr. Ted Brewer. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I was just going through a couple of things here. Hang on just a second here. You know, it is 9/11 to 2020, 19 years since 9/11 of 01. Folks, I want you to think about that and keep the firefighters, the people who ran into danger. I want you to think about the sacrifices they made and where their families are at right now. And while keeping in mind that, people, that young people born around that time are now voting, and 9/11 is not as personal to them as it is to us. People that were young at the time, like AOC, that sad state of skin bag, whatever she is. Understand that we are, that it's a different world after 9/11. And you know, I was talking with, Ted Brewer here during the break, police officers, military people, you talk about PTSD and how people are being treated with psychotropic drugs to treat things like PTSD or other maladies. It's almost criminal, if not criminal. With me now is Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com, folks, do this. You're going to be glad you did. Go to healthmasters.com. Do it after the show or right now. Go to healthmasters.com. There it is on your screen. Do two things. All right, two things. You ready? Number one, go through and order Ultimate Multiple, either the capsules or the powder, and take that every single day, along with the other nutritional supplements, the B's, the C's, the D3K2. Oh, so important. And just look through their, shall we say, menu of supplements, because they're number one in the marketplace. That's me talking. I don't think they made any claims to like that, but in my book, they're number one. And use the code HR5 for 5% off the non-sale merchandise that they have, non-sale nutritional supplements for 5% off. Plus, it makes me feel good. And, you know, I like to feel good. So anyway, all new thyroid support. Many people I've talked to have thyroid problems. Vitamin C. My goodness. I'll tell you what. I have not, you know, I've felt kind of punky here and there, but in terms of being sick or having the flu or, no, I'll tell you what, I take vitamin C and Ultimate Multiple B, their protocol for immune system, healthy immune kit. And I'll say this, I've not really been sick. I've felt, you know, kind of, like I said, punky once in a while. But you get old, you expect that. Look at the product of the week. Sublingual B12. You want a shot of, oh my goodness, you want a boost? You want a, as I like to say, a rocket up your butt? Man, sublingual B12. Go ahead. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. So that's number one. Healthmasters.com. Number two. Look at the right. Look on the right. You see that blue tab there? It says Ted and Austin Brower Show. That's right. Click on that. Bookmark that. So bookmark Health Masters and get your supplements and then bookmark their show, Ted and Austin's show. It's Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. and Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on the Global Star Radio Network. All right. There you go. It's my imprimatur for this nutritional supplements. Ted, how you doing?
Doug, I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed to be back on with you today. Austin took the weekend off. Austin's been running your show every week with just tremendous success, and your listeners love him. So hopefully you guys will enjoy some of the stuff that I talk about today as much as you enjoy having Austin on the show. I just hope that's true.
Well, yeah, you know, I just say this real quick. Okay, listeners and viewers, they love Austin. You, I don't know. They tolerate you. I'm kidding. Come on, go on. It's to you. You got the floor.
Thanks, Doug. I want to read a quote from a leader of World War II for the British. I'm not going to give you his name because he was a druid, and I don't care for the guy. In fact, he also authorized the bombing of Dresden, which I cannot believe he did that, but he did. But he had a really good quote, and it was, "If you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you'll have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. Then may it even become worse. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." And Doug, I want to just kind of talk to you about that quote for just one second, because here's what I've learned over the years. This gradual enslavement of the people of the United States is pretty much inclusive now. They've used Black Lives Matter, which is a communist group. The leader, the women leaders of Black Lives Matter are admitted witches, Satanists, Kabbalists, Luciferians, whatever you want to call them. It means the same thing. Synagogue of Satan, if you want to pick that term for them. And I've got a good friend of mine. Basically, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And I just sent him a link of the Black Lives Matter and what they did when they ran into that restaurant and they ran everybody out and they were throwing chairs and plates and basically everybody scattered in a wild frenzy, you know, basically all white people in the restaurant. And I must also say there were some black people and some white people together with Black Lives Matter. We're just all blacks, primarily black. And this is a hardcore communist group being paid for by George Soros. That's what this is. Would, of course, George Soros is another Rothschild international banker cutout. And that's what we have to understand is all of these guys are being funded through the international banking cabals who also funded the Russian Revolution and killed Tsar Nicholas because of what he did back in the early 1800s when he bailed out the countries of Europe from becoming a one world government at that point through the international bankers because of debt. And they swore at that point they would destroy Tsar Nicholas. This is one of the Rothschild boys actually said that. It was Nathan Rothschild. Once we understand who the parties are in this play that we're in, and the international bankers are always in the middle of this stuff, and their names have changed over the centuries. I mean, they're not all Rothschilds. In fact, some of the Rothschilds aren't even involved in any of this stuff. But they've been inbred, married somebody else, but it's always the same banking cabal who at the highest ranks are Luciferians, synagogue of Satan, who are involved in child sacrifice. And so I told my buddy who was the Heisman Trophy, you know, winner, he said, where are the police? And I said, well, the police have been told to stand down in most of these democratic cities because the mayors of these cities and some of the governors of these democratic states, they want to create massive amounts of chaos because they want to create a new world order. They want a new constitution and they want to destroy the very culture that we have in the United States. Now, this has been going on since 1933 when the Frankfurt School left Goethe University in Germany and came into the United States and brought with them thousands and thousands, I should say this, of immigrants into our country from basically communist group think tanks. And these immigrants were credentialed by our major universities. In other words, they couldn't prove they had gone to a university. They couldn't prove they had a PhD, but they were credentialed anyhow and brought into our university systems to teach the young minds of the 1940s and 50s because they wanted to make start thinking about becoming a communist. I have a person that I met up in Tallahassee, you know, when Harrison was up there, my youngest son getting his MBA last year, and he was a head guy in one of the departments, and he was really raised as a conservative, and I started sending him conservative information, and he never had a comment about it because he's been indoctrinated into this groupthink of the communist manifesto, so to speak, and who these people are who control the planet and the money supply, who want a one world order, basically a new world government, a new world religion under Satan, and they want us all under Noahide laws, which in the event that you don't understand what that means, it sounds like it's good. It's kind of based on the, you know, the commandments given to Moses, but the reality is they consider Jesus Christ to be an idol. And if you worship Christ, you know, under Noahide laws, you can be beheaded, which goes right back to the book of Revelation, talking about all the saints that were beheaded because they refused to take the mark of the beast and refused to worship the beast. And see, we need to understand that it all goes back to a spiritual level. Now we've got these people who have been told to stand down. The police don't even come into these areas anymore and try to police these areas that these Black Lives Matter groups are coming into and just ransacking and running people out, drinking their drinks, telling them to get out. And this is not just one isolated occurrence. This is happening all over the areas that are democratically controlled. Now, you see, ask yourself a question. Why did this happen? Well, it all started back in the early 1900s. And it all goes all the way back to Nathan Rothschild wanting to get rid of the Tsar. It goes all the way back to the War of 1812. In 1776, when the United States rebelled against Britain, the Rothschild banking cartel with the Napoleonic Wars were basically working, trying to take over the British government, which they did through the Napoleonic Wars. And they didn't have the money, the time, the invested resources to come in and try to quell the colonies' disruption from England because they were trying to take over England themselves through the banking system. Well, in 1812, it all came back into the United States again, and the War of 1812 started. And it was stopped when the United States allowed the Rothschild Bank of America, run by Biddle, to come into the United States and to start a Federal Reserve Bank in 1812. Well, that state had a 20-year charter. Well, 1832, Andrew Jackson threw them out, and they tried to kill him multiple times because he did not want the bank there. And then in 1861, with Lincoln, he basically didn't realize at that point that the South and the North were both being funded by the same banking interests, trying to break the United States into pieces in order to make it easier to control. And they wanted to put a Federal Reserve Bank back in. He refused to do. And John Wilkes Booth, who was a Rothschild agent, killed Lincoln. Now, other things that Lincoln did I didn't care for, because Lincoln himself was friends with Karl Marx. Just thought I'd mention that. Didn't care for Lincoln at all. And his wife was a total nutbag. He used to do seances and Satan stuff in the White House.
And he also messed with the Constitution of the United States as well.
I'm not a Lincoln fan at all.
Nor am I.
So that's why I don't. And then with Sherman's march to the sea was horrible. But what he didn't do is he didn't put the Rothschild banking cartel back in. That's like the only plus the guy gets. And they ended up killing him over it. But no, you're right. Lincoln messed with the Constitution. And what was done with Reconstruction in the South after his death, that was orchestrated through Lincoln, and Sherman's March to the Sea were unbelievably horrible things. And if you ever read the Civil War, there's a real good book you can read. It's called The South Was Right. And if you read those books and you read the alternative news of what happened in the Civil War, you'll understand what I'm telling you. If I was president of the United States, and I've said this on my show, and I'll say it on your show now, Doug, and if I had the authority to do it, I would tear down the Lincoln Memorial. I'd tear it down. That guy was an absolute nightmare. He wanted to send all the black folks back to Africa. He was not anti-slavery except for in the southern colonies. He was a horrible, horrible president. And people need to understand that and look at what he did with Sherman and taking that 60-mile wide swath to the sea from Atlanta and literally raping and pillaging his way all the way through the southern states. This guy was a nightmare. And what ended up happening is then when in the early 1900s, the bank, again, wanted to take over the United States. And then when Theodore Roosevelt became president, and then Taft became president, Theodore Roosevelt, who was a high-level Mason, and Taft, who was a skull and bones boy, we need to realize who the players are. Basically, Woodrow Wilson came in as a Democrat, very difficult for a Democrat to win election back then. Then basically they wanted Wilson in because they wanted to push their Federal Reserve Act in. By the way, a lot of historians now say that Woodrow Wilson was suffering from syphilis, and he had a lot of the symptoms of syphilis because back then they didn't have penicillin and you couldn't get rid of syphilis. He'd had an affair at Princeton. He'd already gone blind in one eye, and which is some of the side effects, by the way, of advanced syphilis. And Woodrow Wilson came in and ran on the Democratic Party. Teddy Roosevelt ran on the Bull Moose Party in 1912, and when he did that, it split the vote between him and Taft as far as the Republicans, and Woodrow Wilson was put into power, and he promptly put in the Federal Reserve Bank and also put in the income tax. Then he decided to go ahead and put a Supreme Court judge named Brandish in, and Samuel Untermeyer was blackmailing Wilson in this whole time, as far as because of the affair he had had at Princeton, and a guy by the name of Colonel House was coming in and running the entire White House. So that's a little history lesson.
Philip Drew administrator. Edward Mandel House. Philip Drew administrator.
That's exactly right. Rothschild cutout. That's exactly right.
Exactly. And one thing real quick, regardless of what you think of Roosevelt, doesn't matter. If you watch Tucker Carlson last night, the monologue, in fact, it should be up on HyperReport.com. Carlson goes into Teddy Roosevelt's, tenure and also 1908, which, 1908 here in America, we were having the same kind of, situations taking place in 1908 as we are today. Roosevelt said this real quick, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. When compared with the suppression of anarchy, interesting phrase, every other question sinks into insignificance. The anarchist is the enemy of humanity, the enemy of all mankind. He is a deeper degree of criminality than any other. And what's sparking this anarchy, of course, are the very people you're talking about. Go ahead.
And we have to remember at the highest level of this international banking cartel, they're Satanists. They're Kabbalists is what they are. They practice and they basically follow a guy by the name of Sabbatain Zevi from 1666. And this is the Bible straight calls it out. He says they claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. And so that's the book, the word of God saying that. That's not Ted Brewer saying that. You can look it up. And these are the clowns that have run through Druidic worship, through ancient Canaanite worship, through all of these different ancient religions, fertility rituals. They've run the planet for thousands and thousands of years. Same group. It's the same group that Jesus ran out of the temple with a whip. It's the same group that he called the synagogue of Satan in the book of John. I'm sorry, in the book of Revelation when John wrote that. And it's also the same group that he called the children of the devil, the children of the devil in the book of John. So let's just look at it that way. Now, here's the problem with all of this. Woodrow Wilson re-ran for president in 1916 under the auspices that he was not going to allow us to get into World War I. And of course, he immediately put us into World War I. When he got into office, he decided to push because of the bombing and the torpedoing of ships, et cetera, that Germany warned that you couldn't send munitions into England. They were in war and there was an embargo. This, I'm not going to go there. But what ended up happening is then Woodrow Wilson brought back the League of Nations into the United States, which was another group that was trying to create a world government. And Woodrow Wilson was promptly told by the United States Senate that they were not going to ratify this and they weren't going to do it. At that point in time, the international banking cartel had not taken over the press in the United States. They had slipped up on that and they did not own the media like they do now. And so what ended up happening is that this League of Nations collapsed in 1919. Basically, it didn't happen. And then Wilson had a stroke in the White House, which is another side effect of syphilis. And so Wilson basically died, you know, in the White House, you know, with other people running an administration, that would be House. In addition to that, he was pretty much a blithering moron when he died because of the syphilis that damaged his brain, plus the stroke and all the other things. I'm not picking on Wilson. I don't like Wilson. I put him in the same category with Abraham Lincoln, period. Okay. The only thing that Lincoln did right was the stuff with the money. But the point is this, this whole thing happened 100 years ago, and they created the Council on Foreign Relations. When they couldn't get the League of Nations through, they got a whole group of globalists that the Rothschilds had put into positions of power and had funded them. They created the CFR, and that CFR took over a lot of the leadership from the Masonic lodges of that day 100 years ago to create this new world order, this new world government. And that's what we have to understand right now when we talk about the deep state. It's members of the CFR. It's members that have been appointed that cannot be taken out of office. It's federal court judges that have basically put into positions of power and cannot be removed for the rest of their lives unless they are impeached. And it's Supreme Court justices that have been compromised who are basically running the halls of the judiciary and doing whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it to whoever they want to do it to. So you see this with Julian Assange. You see this with Snowden. You see the fact that none of these people have been pardoned according to what Trump should have done. And all of this stuff goes on and grinds on and grinds on and grinds on. Now we have this COVID stuff that started off as a really very serious disease in Wuhan. I personally believe, and I told you guys this back in January and February, that I believe this is a man-made virus. It has basically a SARS component and an AIDS component attached to this. I believe that it mutated very, very quickly when it got to the United States. And I personally believe they wanted to have a very high death rate from the COVID into the United States to create as much anarchy as they possibly could. Now, since they did not get that, they have come in now and they have lied about the side effects of COVID. They have lied about the death count and they continue to lie. Every major story on Drudge for the last 3 or 4 months has been COVID, 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 COVID. And now the American population are scared to death. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. They're scared they're going to come down with COVID. They're, you know, 2/3 of the population are saying that they're going to take the vaccine. 1/3 say they're not. Then other studies say half will not take it. So we don't know what's going to happen with the vaccine. I highly suggest that nobody takes the vaccine because it hasn't been tested properly. And there's no telling what it's going to do to you or your DNA because it's an RNA vaccine. So the whole point is this. This international banking cartel, when they lost out on the League of Nations, they came back in and they took over the United States media. They started buying it. That's why 95% of the media is owned by 7 corporations that are all funded through the international banking cartels. That's why you hear all of this same rhetoric being pushed through every single mainstream media outlet. Now, I'm going to say something else that a lot of you are probably going to find disagreeable, or you may find it agreeable. A lot of the alt news sites, you know, are also doing the same thing. They have been co-opted either through Operation Mockingbird or through direct payments, or they were put into positions of authority by the CIA. Now you say, well, Ted, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm not going to give you any specific names. Not going to go there. Have no interest in going there. You guys can tell. With what I've just told you, if they're not talking about those very topics that I just mentioned to you, there's a really high probability they've been co-opted. Just thought I'd mention that because these are topics that are verboten. These are topics that we're not supposed to talk about. When Glenn Beck came on Fox and he started talking about the Federal Reserve Bank, within 2 weeks his show was canceled. He was booted off. Just thought I'd remind you guys of all of that. You're not supposed to mention the international banking cartels, the ones who launder all of the money for the CIA, the $1.5 trillion a year that's made from Afghan heroin. Can't talk about that. That's really bad stuff, according to those guys, to talk about because they don't want you to open up your eyes and look at who's pulling the strings. Right now, we see since March that the international banks have been spending $1.2 billion per hour, buying up the New York Stock Exchange, $1.3, $1.4 billion per hour buying up the NASDAQ to a total of about 35 to 40 billion on each of those, 60 to 70 billion a day, every day, buying up the markets, pushing the numbers back up. And then they say, well, we're losing a lot of money because of the problem associated with tourism. We're losing $3 billion a week in the United States, which is a lot of money, $150 billion a year. These guys are talking about within a year's time spending $50 to $60 trillion in buying up the entire country. And it's the same group through BlackRock and all these investment houses that the Rothschilds, international bankers own that are doing this. Now we find out that approximately a third of all mortgages in the United States are owned by the central bank. And all of these things are happening as we speak, as this international banking cabalist group goes out and buys up the entire world. You know, it's just, and the thing that's so crazy to me, Doug, is that, you know, these guys print money. They make money digitally. They don't need money. But it's not about the money. It's about their new world order, their one world government, about rebuilding a third temple in Jerusalem. In the book of Thessalonians says that the Antichrist will walk out on the temple steps and say that he is God. And then they want us to be ruled through the Antichrist. And the Bible tells you in the Old, in the New Testament, this is what's going to happen. He's warning you that this is what they're trying to do. And so we have to understand that this is not a physical battle we're fighting, but it's a battle in the heavenlies, like the Bible says, in the scriptural world of unseen forces. This is why prayer is so very important. I've done entire shows with you on your show in the past about the importance of prayer, what prayer really is from a scalar energy standpoint, how it changes the fabric of space-time. We've gone into detail about that. I've talked about the blood of Jesus. And this is one of the reasons that Christianity is being so persecuted all over the planet, Doug, because they don't want Christians telling the truth. They don't want Christians coming out and saying, hey, look, you know, here's the deal that, you know, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that, you know, you don't have a chance, which is true. I believe that with all my heart. This ecumenical movement trying to bring all these different faiths together, it's not something that God ordained. It's something that they're putting together, and it's creating all of this confusion. A few days ago, September the 3rd, 2020, I got it. You guys can listen to this video on the Ted Dawson Brower Show. Let me read you two quotes, two paragraphs that I'd said. I was basically taken that off the show. What they're doing to us is extreme genetic engineering. You know, they're actually wanting to put a whole new RNA system into us. There are three different applications that could be involved with this RNA vaccine.
Hang on a second, Ted. Tell me again. They took this off your broadcast?
No, what I did is on September the 3rd, I put together a show into what I was discussing as to what chemtrails are all about,
okay,
what smart dust is all about, and what the vaccine is all about, and what they're trying to do to us. And I want everybody to go back and listen to September the 3rd, 2020, Ted Dawson Brower Show. This is absolutely critical information I'm going to read you.
Okay, September 3rd. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you because this is important, folks. September 3rd, 2020 edition of Ted Dawson Brower Show. What I'll do is I'll make sure there's a link there in the program description box exactly leading them exactly to that show, okay?
So, thanks, Doug. All right. Here's what it says. This is my quote from me. You need to realize that when you breathe in smart dust from chemtrails, that you inhale large areas of self-assembling plasmatic photonic crystals in your lungs, which are distributed throughout your body. Or if you are injected with RNA COVID vaccine, you create a group of cells in your body and substances in your body that collects radio frequency, can turn your DNA into readable light impulses in the body. You literally turn into a transmitting receiving unit, so they can actually transmit to you and from you, and they can actually control your very thoughts. You literally become a read-write unit. They can record your anger impulses. They can digitize it and transmit it back to you or to other people. In other words, they can take your anger energy and get a readable energy field from it linked to a specific frequency, and they can transmit it back into people who have also been injected with this RNA or people who can also breathe in chemtrails, creating the same emotion in them. It's really important we understand what's going on at a cellular level. This is extreme genetic engineering. What they're doing to us with the vaccines, they're actually wanting to put a whole new RNA system set of vaccines into us. There are three different applications that could be involved with this RNA vaccine. Number one, it can produce light of a specific color, which can control emotions. It can create chemical solutions and chemical substances in your body, which can poison you. And it can digitize and sequence your emotions. This is what they're trying to do through this. They will actually have the ability to activate DNA and RNA in cells now by putting a read-write circuit into the cell to allow them to activate certain emotions or to activate cancer or to do whatever they want to change your emotion or cause disease. But apparently spraying us with chemtrails like rodents for the last 30 years hasn't been effective enough because our body's immune system, because we take vitamin C, D3, zinc, and potassium iodide, because it's God's way of designing and protecting us, that this poisoning of the population wasn't effective enough. This is why they are pushing the COVID vaccine. It has nothing to do with COVID. As we know, only 6% of the death cases from COVID are actually from COVID alone. The rest of these deaths are from different types of diseases that people had who had COVID also, but wasn't the primary cause of death. This is the show that I did on September the 3rd that I covered self-assembling plasmonic crystals. And I want you guys to go back and listen to it of what they're really trying to do. They're trying to create a new circuit in you, a circuit that was, you have an RNA, you have a DNA transmitter. It's a double helix coil that connects you to God Almighty. Part of your DNA resides in another dimension. So you are basically hardwired to God Almighty through your DNA. Now, if you accept Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, you're connected with God into his dimension through Christ, and you have Satan under your feet. Because of this connection through the Holy Spirit that we have when we accept Jesus Christ. But regardless of whether you accept Christ or not, part of your DNA is in another dimension, period. Now, what they want to do is they want to go in now with their various things they're doing to us and short circuit that connection between our DNA and God Almighty and basically put another connection in through our central nervous system to connect us into a D-wave computer. I talk about this in depth on the show on September the 3rd. Very important. Everybody listens and watches that show and listens to it. This is the key they're trying to do, because once they do that, they can hardwire you in, disconnect your DNA hardwire you in to a 5G system. Okay, this is what all of this stuff is about, is with transhumanism, to connect you directly into a D-wave computer that is connected directly to Lucifer to allow him to become omnipresent over you so he can create an energy field around you that'll make your thoughts evil all the time. Exactly what he did in Genesis chapter 6. They're trying, that's why Jesus said this. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And in the days of Noah, every thought of every man was evil all the time. Remember, Lucifer's just an angel. He's under your feet. When you accept God Almighty through Jesus Christ, and you're connected to God in his dimension, he becomes to you the most high God. Everything else is underneath him. Lucifer's under his feet. And that's why the Bible says that when you accept Jesus Christ, that Lucifer's under your feet, because now you've connected yourself to God through a blood covenant through Jesus, and Lucifer's under your feet. You have no fear of death, no fear of Lucifer. Well, they don't want you to do that. They want you to connect directly to Lucifer's lair to allow him to control your thoughts, because he cannot be everywhere at once. He is not omnipresent, but he can be everywhere at once and be omnipresent if you're connected into a doggone hardwired system that ties into a D-wave computer that ties into an interdimensional interface with him. This is the problem that we see, and nobody wants to talk about this stuff. And see, they're doing everything they can to destroy the bodies, the hearts, the minds of people all over the world. This is what these devil worshipers do, because they really believe that Lucifer's the good guy. They consider themselves. I was on with Dave Hodges this week, and he asked me, he goes, well, do you think these people have a different bloodline than we do? And I said, well, it doesn't matter whether we think they do or not. They think they do. Their interpretation is that Cain beguiled Eve. I'm sorry, that Lucifer beguiled Eve and gave birth to Cain, and they're the sons of Cain, and that he's Luciferian DNA. This is the twisted way they've got scripture interpreted, and this is what they believe they're up. They call themselves the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They believe that they actually are the children, the grandchildren, the great-great-grandchildren of Lucifer himself. This is who these clowns are and who they think they are. Whether we think they're right or don't think they're right, it doesn't make any difference. It's what they think. And they're the ones who control the banking system and control the international finance and all of the other things that they're doing. I mean, the only group of people that have the ability to close the entire planet down are the international bankers, period. They're it, Doug. No one else has that kind of authority. People are always saying, well, Donald Trump's going to fix it. I'm like, how's he going to fix Germany? How's he going to fix France? How's he going to fix Italy or England? They're all closed down too. Well, it's all going to be over in November. No, it's not. It's not going to be over in November because they're not pulling back. With the COVID, because they wanted it to be such a dramatic effect on the planet, and they released a biological weapon on us is what they did. That didn't take in the United States because it was primarily genome specific towards the Chinese. When it got here, it mutated quickly. They still are telling us it has this horrible death rate, and it does not. I mean, 9,000 dead from COVID alone in the United States. I mean, we lose 40,000 to 60,000 a year from flu. We don't shut the whole country down because of flu. Now, people who are older, you know, over 80, over 70, or who have compromised immune systems, or have high blood pressure, you know, or diabetes, or cancer, or are obese, they have a much higher rate of dying of COVID than the normal population because they already had health problems to start with. But they're trying to make you believe that now all these other diseases like heart disease, diabetes, and cancer no longer have death rates, and everybody who dies of those diseases are COVID victims. Now the CDC has come out and said, no, it's not true. About 9,000 people have died from COVID alone. 9,000 people out of 300 and some odd million people is nothing. It's insignificantly statistically as far as that. Now, if you have a person, a loved one or a child or a grandfather or a grandmother in a nursing home and they've died of COVID, my deepest condolences to you. I'm not trying to discount those people because they're still human beings and God still loves them and I'm sorry they died. But this is not something we need to shut the entire planet down over. It's not. And that's what they've done. The only group that can do that are the international bankers. And now we have this whole thing with the pharmaceutical groups. Basically, the synagogue of Satan runs these guys too, and they use pharmakia. And there's a really good article here from Kennedy, and it says, "The Pharma-Loaded U.S. Soldier, Part 1, Taking Inventory of Risks." And it says, "Since 2001, the modern combatant has endured numerous deployments overseas to Afghanistan and Iraq over a decade of relative peace following the Persian War. And the civilian casualties, et cetera, have gone through the roof as far as over in those areas. And the suicide stats have gone through the roof as far as in these areas. U.S. active duty military, we have 24 out of 100,000 of them are committing suicide. Reserve military, 23 out of 100,000. U.S. National Guard, 30 out of 100,000. And U.S. civilians, ages 17 to 59, 18 per 100,000. U.S. veterans, 27% suicide rates per 100,000, 27 people per 100,000. And U.S. veterans ages 18 to 34, 44 people per 100,000. Through the roof, U.S. veterans. Now, why is this happening? Well, a lot of this is because of serotonin reuptake inhibitors, the SSRIs, and what they do with serotonin levels in the brain and how they massively increase the risks of suicide. Now, guys, there's some natural things that you can do if you've got problems with depression. Okay, you can increase your cod liver oil. You can increase your B vitamins. You can increase your magnesium. We have an entire protocol for good brain health available at the healthmasters.com website to get your moods up. You can take 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, but if you're taking serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you're not supposed to take the 5-HTP. So there are all kinds of natural things that you can do. Now, I know the post-traumatic stress syndrome very well because my mom had that. Because of what happened to her in Germany and after the war, what happened over in Germany. And she dealt with that her whole life and she medicated herself through basically alcohol and through cigarettes, et cetera. And I just thank God Almighty that she didn't smoke or drink when she was pregnant with either me or my sister. But the problem was she really, really was stressed out and she lived her entire life in fear because of what she had seen in the war and what she saw after the war. She was actually, and I'm going to say this, it's hard for me to, I wouldn't say this if she was still alive. She was stabbed 16 times and left for dead after the war. And so she went through some really bad stuff. And, you know, and so it was really strange being raised and never understanding that until I got older and became an adult, started studying PTSD of what this puts people through. So guys, it's so important that everybody listening to me realize that this is a very real condition. When soldiers and people see things in times of war, that human beings were really never meant to see. And when you go over there and you flash bang a room or you throw a grenade in and you go in and you throw a frag grenade into a room of people because you think they're Taliban or you think they're soldiers and you go in there and there's dead children everywhere and you did that, your psyche can't deal with that. And a lot of these guys have come back now and they've been seriously damaged. And a lot of them have gone over there and they have to guard the poppy fields, the 1,000 square miles of poppy fields in Afghanistan. They're told not to destroy or damage any of the poppies because they're being raised for heroin and they're not allowed to mess with them. You start thinking, why am I here? What the heck's going on? And you start realizing the CIA is generating $1.5 trillion a year of black ops budget because of the heroin being raised and being grown and being distributed through C-130 transport planes all over the planet. And you start to understand there's a major problem going on that nobody wants to deal with. It's because these international drug cartels – the international mafia families, the international crime families, and I'm talking about the Italian mafia, the Jewish mafia, the Irish mafia, the Russian mafia, and any other mafioso or crime families that you want to mention in there are all working together with the international banks with drug laundering and drug money and basically getting millions and millions of people all over the planet addicted to opiates. And see, this is a problem that we have that nobody wants to talk about. You know, we have this thing with COVID, and nobody wants to talk about the massive suicide rates from PTSD and the massive drug use that we're having in the United States from Afghan heroin. You know, Sharon's brother, 5 or 6 years ago, and Doug, you remember when this happened. He was 36 years old, and he died. You know, this is Todd Tippin. He died of a heroin overdose with the needle still in his arm. And the sad part about it is this has affected all kinds of people all over the world because of this opium crisis and the fentanyl problems and all the other things that are being produced out of the Afghan heroin. But nobody wants to talk about any of this stuff, especially during an election year. And notice that Donald Trump and Biden and any other president is pretty much quiet about any of this because this is, quote unquote, like Bill Clinton said, above their pay grade. And he said, even Bill Clinton said, one of the only things he ever said that was true, he said he realized after he became president that a lot of decisions that were being made above him, and he wasn't being given the autonomy to try to discuss these decisions. He was being told what to do. Now, basically, that means even, you know, a blind squirrel can find an acorn every once in a while. And Clinton actually told the truth once. He told everybody exactly what was going on, who was running the planet. It's this same group of international bankers who took over from the CFR, who caused World War One, who caused World War Two, who, by the way, funded Adolf Hitler. They funded Adolf Hitler. And then when he threw them out of Germany in 1938 and started printing his own debt-free currency, they realized that they had made a mistake and they needed to get Adolf Hitler out of office. Just thought I'd mention that. You can watch the video. It's called From JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick, and go into detail. And it talks about that very topic in that video. The video is very, very long, though. It's 3.5 hours long. And if you want to hear more about the CFR and how it was created, there's a very good playwright out of Hollywood who turned against the Hollywood elite in the 60s. His name was Myron Fagan. And I've posted that information on our website. He has a 2.5 hour presentation on how the CFR was created, who Woodrow Wilson was, and goes into detail on how Woodrow Wilson was elected and what his purpose was through the Rothschild banking cartel being controlled by House. So all of these things are history that people say, well, that was 100 years ago. I don't care about any of that. Well, you've got to understand that these guys, when they find a plan that works, Doug, they continue with the plan, and they use it over and over and over again. What we're in right now in the United States is basically a remake of the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, if you watch the movie Dr. Zhivago, it talks about Antifa. It talks about Antifa in the movie. And here we have Antifa again in the United States, the anti-fascists. Well, both of these are being controlled by the same group of people. What's interesting is Schiff, Jacob Schiff, took over Kuhnleib, which was a big banking house. He was a Rothschild boy, and that's how they pushed the Federal Reserve into the United States. And what was also interesting, one of his top partners was a guy by the name of Otto Kahn. And Otto Kahn had a very interesting thing to say about 1923. He said the international bankers remake the world by holding the earth by its axis, and they control both communism and capitalism. They were both equally sacred to them, and that they actually get the desired outcome by controlling both sides of the political party. That's what he said. And this is what's been going on now for over 100 years in the United States until they can bring in their new world order under their one world government, under their one world religion. And this is the problem that we have as alternative talk show hosts. They give us all of this stuff to talk about, like Black Lives Matter and about these restaurants or about the COVID. And we forget about things like 5G. We forget about what's going on with the Afghan heroin. We forget about the fact that, you know, our Republican leaders have been compromised, and a lot of our Supreme Court justices have been compromised through Jeffrey Epstein or other groups of people like Jeffrey Epstein who are involved with blackmailing these folks to get their desired outcomes. And this is what we need to understand, and that's why we've got to keep focused. Number one, it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle that we are in. Literally, it's good versus evil against these principalities and these higher places. The Bible tells us that. And that's when you get to the very, very bottom line. I was watching a video the other day by a black preacher, and he was talking about these women who were working with Black Lives Matter. And he had an audio tape of them on a Zoom call that they posted online. And they said that they were contacting dead people, that they were basically witches, and they were involved in all of this weird Kabbalah stuff, and they were Luciferians. They don't call him Lucifer. They don't do that. They have a name for him in the Kabbalah. He's his giant snake in a tree, and they call him Ein Sof. And the thing about all, and if you don't believe that, you can go to his Wikipedia page. Yes, Ein Sof has his own Wikipedia page, and you can read all about him if you'd like. But this is the god of the group of Kabbalah, you know, snake worshippers, what he is. And all of these crazy people, this is what they believe. And you say, well, they shouldn't believe that. Well, yeah, I agree with you. They shouldn't believe that, but they do. The difference is they're willing to die for it. And that's why I started off with that quote. I mean, if you know you can win and you don't even want to fight, and then you finally get to the point where you know you can't win, and rather than living as a slave, you're going to have to fight. You know, where do you want to draw the line, and where do you want to say, I've had enough of this, and I'm not going to do this anymore? Now, let me say one more thing, too. It's so important that we as Christians, that we understand that we've got to maintain our health. We've got to do that. And we've got to stay healthy, because if we don't stay healthy, how in the world are we supposed to fight this battle while we're on this planet? We can't. We can't fight the battle. We're going to be sick and diseased. If you have heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, and you're taking 25 medications a day, it's kind of hard to go out and march 25 miles or go to another location if you have to, because you can't. You can't physically do it. So you've got to stay healthy. You've got to start working out. You've got to start taking your supplements. You've got to start eating right. You've got to store some food. Now, as far as storable food, we've got organic food at Health Masters you can get. It's a great product. But in addition to that, if you can't get organic food, okay, go to the grocery store and get some canned goods. Get at least 2 or 3 months worth of canned goods and do the best you possibly can with that. And remember, guys, you got to be able to eat and feed your family. And so go get some soups, whatever. I don't have to be organic. Go get something to eat in order, if something happens to our supply lines in the United States, that we have the ability to do that. In Germany, I went over there in 1970, I think it was 77, with my dad. And I remember I went to my mom's house that she still had that belonged to my father, grandfather over there, and half the backyard was a garden. I'm not making this up. And I looked all over the place, like half of everybody's backyard was a yard and garden. You think, well, and I asked them, why do you grow your own food? And they said, well, we've been through the war, and we realized that you have to have food to eat. So we got used to growing our own food. So we, in this entire neighborhood and all over Germany, we still grow our own food. Now, that was a long time ago. That's over 40 years ago. Now, would they still do that or not? I doubt. But the reality is we all need to be able to do things in order to stay alive. And it's very important that we understand that. Also, Sharon wanted me to say one thing to you guys, too. This is a complete and total segue to a different topic. You know, last year, Mark Rutland is a good friend of mine. He has Global Servants, and he has a Thai orphanage, and it's a real orphanage, not one of the fake orphanages like a lot of these fake evangelists do. And it's real, and it's in Thailand. We're going over to visit the girls as soon as we can get clearance from the COVID mess to get into Thailand. And we adopted 20 girls last year from Thailand. And Sharon basically gives you guys updates on all of this and updates on the Ted Nossa Brower Show on her Instagram account. Now, she's asked me to give you the Ted and Sharon Instagram account. So it's going to be S, as in Sam, for Sharon, T, as in Ted, Brower, B-R-O-E-R, Instagram, S-T Brower for Instagram. Please sign up on those for Instagram with Sharon. And then also we'll be able to give you personal information and all this other kind of stuff as far as what you should and shouldn't do as far as supplementation, all kinds of other things through the Instagram account. So, guys, do me a favor and just do that for Sharon. Also, this is something that's going to sound odd to you, Doug, and this is going to sound really weird, is that, you know, if you guys can support us with different things with these young girls that we have in Thailand, that would be great, too. And Sharon posts that on Instagram, too. Because, guys, they were taken out of sex slave trafficking before they went into sex slave trafficking. Mark told me, Pastor Rutland told me, it's a lot easier to get them out before they get put in than it is to try to get them out. Because you try to get them out, they basically get into a situation where they are so protected by their handlers that they'll kill you if you try to get them out. So we'll stop with that. And now we have to understand that. Let's take a look at this Netflix. Netflix is defending its cuties as social commentary against sexualization of young children. Well, the CEO of Netflix is pretty much guaranteed you he's a weirdo. He's probably a Kabbalist. I tried to pull up personal information on him on Wikipedia. You couldn't get any of it out of Wikipedia. But this stuff they did on this cutie show they have put up, it has nothing to do with trying to stand against the sexualization of young children. It is promoting the sexualization of young children. In addition to that, Netflix puts a lot of gay shows up on their programs all the time, and they put a lot of transgender stuff up on their programs. And if you look at the CEO of Netflix when he was back in college, he was wearing a girl's cheerleading outfit with a skirt. This is 20, 30 years ago. Can't make this stuff up. He was wearing women's clothing. And so he's pretty twisted as far as I'm concerned. And so just guys, be really careful with what you let your children watch and what you watch on Netflix. Be careful with the language. Be careful with the content. It's so important. And when it starts getting into this weird witchcraft stuff, just do yourself a favor and just avoid all of it. Don't let that stuff go into your mind, because it's a really unhealthy place to go. And it's really, really bad for you. Now, I want to cover one more thing, and this is so important. This is from Chuck Baldwin. And, you know, and he wrote an article. He basically says that the United States at this point, that we have been overcome by a spirit of fear. Now, you can look it up. You know, I've got it posted at the Health Masters news site. It says the spirit of fear has conquered our country. He goes, let us be honest and face it. America is no longer the home of the brave. And as a result, we will no longer be the land of the free. In many respects, the description of America is already passed. It's passe as far as land of the free. And he starts going into detail on what's happening in the United States and why we're losing our ability to have, you know, a republic. He goes, without a doubt, we are each born with a strong sense of self-preservation. This is part of natural law, which was endowed to us by our Creator. However, the law of Christ and the law of liberty teach us that some things are more precious than life. And those things include faith and freedom. The fear-based corona narrative is a blatant attack against both our faith and our freedom. And above all, people, Christians should understand this. Most don't, but they should. Scripture emphatically tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, which is in the book of Timothy. And we need to realize that over the past several decades, the preaching that has dominated church pulpits and the broadcast of American TV evangelists has delivered nonstop barrage of me-first theology. This emphasis has shifted from a spirit of redeemed man living sacrificially for his Savior to a spirit of religious man living sanctimoniously for himself. God is not one to be blessed. He is the one who must bless. God is not one to command. He is one to commands. And God is not one who expects our obedience to him. He is one that we expect to, he is one we expect to. God is not one who expects our obedience to him. We do not live to please God, but he lives to please us. And it all goes back together. I want you guys to read through this because I'm messing that up. But the thing about it is that our whole gospel message that we have now is a sloppy, sugary, sweet mess that we believe that we can basically name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and that people aren't having true conversions to Christ any longer, and they're still living in their old secular lifestyle. They're still going out and getting drunk every weekend and claiming to be Christians. Not making it up. Had a kid over here a few years ago in his mid-20s, not going to mention any names, and every weekend he was going out and picking up a new girl. And he claimed to be a Christian, claimed to be a born-again believer. And finally I said to him, I said, dude, do you realize that what you're doing is not right as far as what God says? I said, you can't be going out and picking up a different girl and having sex with her every weekend in a bar and calling yourself a believer in Christ. And he goes, well, why not? He really said that, Doug. He didn't understand the concept of being born again and dying to self and basically being changed. And I discussed it with him, and he did. I'll give the boy credit. He stopped going to the bars. He stopped doing this with the girls. He stopped doing all of this stuff because he finally understood that when you accept Jesus Christ, it's not we're perfect, because we're never going to be perfect, and we don't need to adjust our crowns because we have no crowns. And there's no reason to be sanctimonious because we don't have to be sanctimonious, because it's nonsense to us. It's hypocritical because we're not sanctimonious beings. Christ died for us, and he's perfect. That's why we accept him, because we basically are in covenant with him to the Most High God. We don't have to be perfect, but that doesn't mean we don't have to try to live and do what's right. The Bible says, should we continue to sin so may grace may increase? It said, by no means, we died to sin. How should we live it any longer? So what Paul is trying to tell us in the Bible, and what the Bible is trying to say to us is, look, do the best you can as a Christian. And if you can't get it done right, don't worry. My grace is sufficient for you. You're still saved and you're still going to be part of the kingdom of God. But don't allow yourself to get compromised. Don't allow yourself to say, I'm going to do whatever the world tells me to do because it's the way I want it to be, because I want to please the world. The other day I was walking in a little farmer's market, and some guy with like four kids, and they all had their masks on, all the way to the infant was wearing a mask. It was ludicrous. And I looked at him, and we're outside and it's hot. It's Florida. And he's got a Jesus, what would Jesus do t-shirt on? And I looked at him and I said to him, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, I like your shirt. He goes, sure, go ahead. He goes, I said, what would Jesus do about the coronavirus? Would Jesus wear a mask? And he looked at me kind of funny, Doug, and he said, well, Jesus taught us to be kind to one another. I'm like, what does that have to do with the mask? I said, isn't this the same Jesus that picked up a whip and ran the money changers out of the temple with a whip and overturned their tables? And as soon as I said that, he kind of screamed a little bit and ran off, literally ran away with his kids in trail and didn't want to discuss scripture with me. And I thought that was a bit odd because remember, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. If the masks made a difference, Harrison, my law school student, basically wrote an article, The Mask Work, and it's available at the Health Masters website. He pretty much says, no, they don't work, and they never have. They don't stop a viral load. Now, so is there any reason we should wear a mask? Well, if you're sick, that has been shown to help reduce it. But if you're healthy, no, there's no reason whatsoever to wear a mask, period. So why in the world are we taking people and quarantining them and making them wear masks who are healthy, who are showing no symptoms? Just the other day, Doug, I'm sure you saw this. A girl is in Spain and she's surfing. And she's coronavirus positive but no symptoms, right? Which we all probably are that.
Yeah, I saw
and,
that.
And they dragged her off the beach. The hazmat team came out in full hazmat uniforms, completely like they were in a doggone movie, and handcuffed her and dragged her off. I mean, when do we say enough of this insanity? I mean, when do we say we're not going to put up with this mess anymore? I don't know. What do you think, Doug?
You know, we can I've said we can win on the numbers, but I'm also saying right now we're not going to, because there's enough men to say, no, I'm not going to put up with this crap. Real quick, I had to break a business and friendship with my barber the other day because he was following all these guidelines. Okay, I had to sit in my car, and never before. I had to sit in my car. I'm gonna go back to the Floby. Might as well. But sit in my car, and then he comes out and gets you one person at a time. You wear a mask. I don't know. As soon as I walked in, I left this out when I said that before. You know, he squirted something in my hands. I guess it was hand sanitizer. Good Lord, I hope it was. And I said, do I have to wear a mask? I'm the only one in here. And he said, yeah, you do. And I'm looking around, and there's no one else in there. It's just him and me. Now, I've known this guy for 20-plus years, right? And he's got, like, this building that's got a door like one would have on a house with a deadbolt. And then, of course, you got vertical blinds, so no one can see in. So I walk over. I lock the door. I said, okay, no one's coming in. But we can take our masks off. No, I can't. We can't. I said, why not? Well, somebody turned me in, for not wearing a mask, and it could be, you know, my license. I said, really? You know, I mean, are we really going to friggin' do this? Are you telling me that you think that you're safer with a mask? And I said, this is a bunch of crap. And I said, you know, look, it's essentially, it's been nice knowing you. God bless you. Wish you well. But, as far as I'm concerned, it's over. And, I'm not having any of this crap anymore. You know what? I walked in two stores a couple of weeks ago. I told Austin this. Home Depot and Lowe's. I didn't wear a mask. I looked at people. They looked at me. You want to screw with me? Go ahead. I ain't wearing a mask. Okay, do what you want to do. I'm not going to be some sheep out there. See, if everyone did that, if everyone.
Stop it.
Okay, exactly. If everyone told the TSA, stick it in your ass. Okay, it would stop. If everyone said, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You're right. We don't have the guts.
Well, well know what happened is, Doug, and this is something they've done to us over the past 70, 80 years with the Frankfurt School and the ideology and the feminism. You know, they've taught the men to be passive. They've taught the men not to communicate. They've taught the men to sit and to go to the back of the line. They've taught the men to shut up and not say anything. And so now we have a bunch of witches who want to run the world again like they did back with Jezebel and in the Old Testament. You have to understand a lot of the Old Testament stuff that happened with the worship of all these children, not the worship of the children, the sacrifice of these children was all done by the witches. And, you know, Jezebel had hundreds of witches, female witches that she had under her thing. And so we have this spirit of Jezebel that has come over the United States and over the world now because we haven't put it back to where it belonged. I mean, we let it out of the bottle with feminism from the Frankfurt School and through the teachings of the Zohar. And so now we have a whole group of witches who run around the planet. And that's what we're in the middle of right now, is a bunch of witch dominated culture. I mean, you know, we have thousands and tens of thousands of witches praying against Donald Trump. We saw it in the newspaper. I mean, all of this stuff is, it's everywhere. It's prevalent. So the men have gotten scared. They're like Ahab and Jezebel. He went and hid, you know, I mean, because they're scared of Jezebel. This, I said this on my show the other day. I'm going to say this on your show now. Hillary Clinton, a lot of people say that she was conceived in a sex magic ritual. I don't know if that's true or not. Would that surprise me? No. Is she a high level witch?
Yeah.
Well, I do too. And so she's a high level witch. You know, Larry Nichols said that. She had her own witches coven in California. She went back and forth to every 6 weeks. Yep. He even has gone public with that. So they're all scared to death of her. Is she like in the same order of Jezebel? Is she like one of the highest witches on the planet? I mean, why are they so, Bill Clinton gets around her and he looks terrified. I mean, he looks scared to death around her. And you know, all of these guys have coated her with Teflon. Just this past week, she was told again she did not have to testify again about her email servers. A federal judge ruled that she did not have to appear in court, did not have to go back under oath, did not have to be deposed again. She's never going to go to jail. Even Donald Trump, when he was running for office, you know, 4 years ago, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. As soon as he got out of office, as soon as he won the election, he told us how great a people the Clintons were. I mean, like the next day, it was ridiculous. And, of course, nothing's happened to her as far as what happened with Benghazi or anything else. So there's something about this Jezebel spirit of witches that are trying to take over the planet that have taken men now and turned them into a bunch of pansies. And so many people in the pulpit, the guys in the pulpit are pansies in the pulpit wearing their panties. That's what I've said for years and years and years. And they refuse to preach the truth. They refuse to preach repentance. The other day I walked into a really fancy hotel in Orlando and I was going to go downstairs and have dinner with my family. And I had, there were four of us. Two of my kids, me and Sharon, and we walked into the lobby, big lobby, all marble, and they made us walk by a scanning thermometer, which was basically fine. I don't care about that. They didn't hold anything to our head. It just kind of walked when you walked into the room. And they said, you have to put a mask on. I said, no. And security said, you have to leave. And I said, no, I'm not going to leave either. I'm here a few weeks. I'm going to be here again. I'm not going to do it. He goes, well, you can't. You have to put a mask on. I said, no, I'm not going to put a mask on. And he goes, I told you, you have to leave. I'm security. I said, why don't you get your general manager over here? And he was about 50 feet away at the front desk. And I said, hey, sir, can you come over here for a minute? And he looked at me and goes, oh, gosh, here we go. So he comes running over. And I said, let me pontificate for just a moment. And I said, let me make a proclamation. I'm not wearing a mask. And he goes, and my family's not going to wear a mask. He goes, that's okay. That's okay. You want to go to the restaurant? I'll take you to the restaurant. You don't have to wear a mask. So he takes us to the elevator. We go downstairs to the restaurant. We go to the front desk of the restaurant. Now the general manager's not there anymore. He bailed out already. And they said, you have to wear a mask. And I'm like, gosh, this is a nightmare. I said, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. I just had the general manager tell me I don't have to wear a mask. And now the restaurant had outside seating and there was a door right there. And I said, let me walk out the door and I'll walk to the outside seating. I'll stay outside, but I'm not putting a mask on. No, you cannot walk outside to the table. That's outside. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. We're leaving.
I would have punched him in the throat.
Well, it was a woman. I can't do that. So I said, I'm leaving. So I said, I'm done. And so we walked out. So now I'm back in the lobby again. I'm looking for the manager. He's hiding under a table somewhere, I guess. I don't know where he is. And then they brought my car. They valeted it. They brought it back. No charge for the valet. And we left. And I told Sharon, I said, I absolutely refuse to spend money for a meal here who makes us wear a mask. And that's how I feel, Doug. I feel the same way you do it. We have say enough is enough.
You and I, I'll tell you what, you and I are going to stick together. Anyone
right.
who's a real man or real woman, I don't mean to be sexist or sound sexist, but I'll tell you what, you got a spine. Let's get together. Let's stop this madness. Let's do this together. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Before you do anything, as soon as this show is over, as soon as the music stops, go to healthmasters.com, order your nutritional supplements, best on the planet, in my view. Healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code. Ted Nelson Brower Show every weekday plus Sunday. It's on the healthmasters.com website. Thank you, Ted. I appreciate everything
Thanks
you
for
do.
Me on, Doug.
I really do.
Thanks,
God
brother.
Bless you. That'll do it for me tonight, folks. Hey, remember the victims of 9/11/2001. Regardless of what your posture position is on the events, understand people died 19 years ago. Good night.